Hi, and welcome to Late Night with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally, dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope that you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight, and you can give us a call. Our phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Toll free anywhere in the U.S. And I guess that includes parts of Canada as well. We've actually had callers from Canada in the past that I think have used that line. So you're welcome to call from there as well. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get into our program here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you for making it possible. And we just pray that we could be a blessing, that we could be a help, and that we can be an encouragement to somebody tonight, and that through the things that we talk about, that we could point somebody to Jesus Christ, that they might know him as their Savior as well. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before I get into everything this evening, and there's certainly a lot of stuff that's going on in the world around us tonight, just wanted to make mention of if you're at all interested in astronomy and things like that, tonight's a night to go outside and check out the supermoon. We got a good glimpse of it coming up to the station here tonight, but this is the second supermoon of the of 2014, and it's the biggest one, I guess, that we'll see in 2014. And what we mean by a supermoon, that's when the moon is a little bit bigger than it normally is, and that's because it's at its closest approach to the Earth that it'll be this year. And at the same time, there's also the Perseid meteor shower going on this evening, though because the moon is so bright tonight, it might actually be a little difficult to see that. But if you're up and you get a chance to get outside and look, the moon, if you watch and you like to watch and see the moon as it goes through its phases, the moon's actually going to be about 14% bigger and about 30% brighter than usual, which means that it's actually noticeably larger and brighter than typical. So it's at perigee, which means it's at its closest point as opposed to the apogee, or it's at the furthest point. But so get out and take a look there at the moon if you get a chance. About 30,000 miles, I guess, closer than it normally would be at this time for a full moon. And it's a beautiful sight if you've got some clear skies. We had a little bit of a haze coming in, and when we saw it, it had a little halo around it and kind of gave it a neat effect. But get outside and give it a try if you can. It's well worth looking at. I always tell people, if you watch people at night, they walk around, they never look up in the sky. And there's a lot of interesting things because of all the lights around. We don't see and appreciate the stars as much as we used to. My wife and I, when we were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, what a gorgeous night sky. You would go out, you didn't have the light pollution. It would be the sky like you would have seen if you were walking the earth in Jesus' day, in the night when all the lights pretty much were out, and you would see the Milky Way galaxy just spread across. You could see, or the Milky Way, we call it. We're in the Milky Way galaxy, and spread across the night sky, sky absolutely gorgeous. And of course, being below the equator, we saw the Southern Cross, and it's really neat because north of the equator, you have the North Star Polaris, which always tells you where north is, and coincidentally, I think not, in the southern hemisphere, you can't see Polaris, but you can see the Southern Cross, and the Southern Cross points south. It's like the old song, you know, the way of the cross leads home, so you could use the cross to know which direction to go. And God put the stars in the sky, the Bible says, for signs and for seasons. And in Psalm 19, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God. And when you look up and you can see something like a supermoon or the Southern Cross or the Milky Way or the a North Star and things like that, you can see the glory of God's handiwork in the sky. So get a chance, take a look outside. And, well, we're going to get on to some other things. I just wanted to start out with something a little bit lighter here this evening. And before we get into some of the heavier stuff that's happening in the news, and again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our toll-free telephone line is open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And again, we welcome Tampa, Florida, and the surrounding area there to our program tonight, second night that we've been on there on AM 570 and 910 WTBN there, Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN in Tampa. And we're glad to have you with us tonight. And, of course, our home station here of AM 1220, The Word, here in northeastern Ohio. And we'd love to hear from you tonight. Before we get to our phone calls, want to mention something that I come across on actually Friday. I was here at the studio for our Friday afternoon program, and we had a combined program with Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, on the west side of Cleveland. And we were doing a combined program because for those of us here in Northeast Ohio, they have what's called the Gay Games number 9 going on. And so we did a combined program. He has a half-hour program here on 1220 from 1 until 1:30. And then I have a half-hour program from 1:30 until 2. And so we decided to combine our efforts, and we talked about that and some related things. But while we were getting ready, Pastor Lutz asked me if I heard about the missile that was blown into the sea, the Hamas missile that was heading into Israel that was blown into the sea. And this was really interesting. And there's a quote that I found here, and this was from IsraelToday.com, or actually .co.il. But Israel Today had this report on Israel's Iron Dome anti-missile system, which has been very successful, although it has on occasion had some things that were not able to be as successful as they would hope. But what happened is that Hamas had sent a missile in, and I'll just read the quote here from one of the Iron Dome missile site operators. He said, "A missile was fired from Gaza. Iron Dome precisely calculated its trajectory. We know where these missiles are going to land, down to a radius of 200 meters. This particular missile was going to hit either the Azraeli towers, the Curia, which is Israel's equivalent of the Pentagon, or a central Tel Aviv railway station. Hundreds could have died. We fired the first interceptor, it missed. Second interceptor, it missed. This is very rare. I was in shock. At this point, we had just 4 seconds until the missile lands. We had already notified emergency services to converge on the target location and had warned of a mass casualty incident. Suddenly, Iron Dome, which calculates wind speeds among other things, shows a major wind coming from the east, a strong wind that sends the missile into the sea. We were all stunned. I stood up and shouted, 'There is a God. I witnessed this miracle with my own eyes. It was not told or reported to me. I saw the hand of God send that missile into the sea.'" Now, that's an absolutely remarkable thing, that this missile, 4 seconds from landing in Tel Aviv and probably causing hundreds of casualties, sudden east wind, totally unexpected, appears out of nowhere, blows the missile into the sea. That would be a powerful gust of wind to do that. And the first thing I thought of when I heard that was when Moses was leading the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, out of Egypt, and they were at the banks of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his army was there behind him, going to kill them. And the Bible says that Moses held his staff out over the sea, and God caused a strong east wind to blow that night, and the waters of the sea separated, and the nation of Israel passed over unscathed. Now, it's just, is that a coincidence? A strong east wind there, and here a strong east wind blows this missile that the Iron Dome system was unable to get into the sea. I think that's kind of exciting. My wife said it gives her goosebumps when she hears it. But to see the hand of God defending the nation of Israel. Well, another thing I wanted to touch on here, too, and then we're going to get to our phone calls here. We've got several callers calling in already, and that is a horrible thing that's taking place in northern Iraq right now, and especially in the area near where the Kurds are. And if you've been following much of the news about ISIS, the Islamic State is what they're calling themselves now, the Islamic State, they're an offshoot of Al-Qaeda, which in itself is an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood, and ISIS was considered too brutal even for Al-Qaeda, if that gives you some idea. They've taken over Mosul, second largest city in Iraq. It's also the Nineveh of the Bible, where Jonah, I remember in Jonah, the book of Jonah, Jonah the reluctant prophet was to go to Nineveh, and that's Mosul. And they went in, and they killed or drove out all of the Christians. They gave them a choice. You could convert to Islam, you can be killed, or you could pay the tax and leave. And basically, they had to leave and flee with the clothes on their back. Anything of value was taken from them, and more likely than not, they ran the risk of getting killed on the way out of Mosul by somebody. And so most of those that escaped were those that got out before the Islamic State troops came in. And they've been doing this across northern Iraq and other places in Iraq, and they've been making incursions into Syria, even a little bit into Lebanon. There's some places in the Gaza Strip and even the Sinai Peninsula that are pledging their allegiance to the Islamic State. And they have been in Mosul and surrounding cities slaughtering Christians by the thousands. And you don't hear about this much. The media is quick to report on a case where Israel bombs a missile launcher that Hamas has carefully located next to a school, next to a church, next to a synagogue, well, not a synagogue, but next to a mosque, next to a hospital. And then they force the people to stay when the Israeli Defense Forces drop leaflets telling them to evacuate because they're going to bomb the missile site. They even send text messages and make phone calls, and the Hamas tells them, if you leave, we'll kill you. Stay and be martyrs so that we can make the Israelis look bad. And so when some of these civilians get killed because Hamas won't let them leave after the Israelis warn them to leave, then the news media goes crazy over, oh, the evil Israelis, and a handful of, and I'm not denigrating a handful of civilians being killed, but relative numbers, thousands and thousands of Christians in northern Iraq are being slaughtered as we speak. There's videos online. I do not suggest watching them. I have enough of an imagination to be able to figure out what they're talking about, but they're literally killing Christians and others by the hundreds, and they're just it's a genocide only against Christians and any non-Sunni Muslims even. And they've been making incursions into Kurdistan, an area of northern Iraq, northeastern Iraq, I guess, where the Kurds live. The Kurds, if you've heard of them, they're the Medes of the Bible. Remember the Media-Persian Empire that conquered Babylon? The Media-Persian Empire, the Medes are the Kurds of today. The Persians are the Iranians of today. And they are going to, according to the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 13, Babylon, which would refer to much of the rest of Iraq, is going to be destroyed. And in this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 13, it's a prophecy that's not been fulfilled. And it says that Babylon is going to be destroyed such that no one will stay there. In verse number 20, it says, it shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. This sounds like a city that's been destroyed in such a fashion that human beings won't go there. Wild animals will go there, but people won't go there. And it says in earlier in the chapter, the method of the destruction, in verse number 4, it says, "The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and shall come as a destruction from the Almighty." And let me drop down here a little further. And verse 7, "Therefore shall all the hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. And they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed at one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, both cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." And it goes on discussing this destruction that's so great that nobody will live there. Sounds an awful lot like what you would see with nuclear weapons being used against Iraq. In the area here. And then we see a group that survives. And this group that survives is the Medes, which are the present-day Kurds. And the Bible says here in Isaiah chapter 13, in verse 17, "Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them," meaning the Babylonians, which would be the Iraqis, "which shall not regard silver. As for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces. They shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. In Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the heart, the beauty of the Chaldeans' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." Remember, that was with fire and brimstone. And so the Medes are going to loot the spoils of Babylon that after this destruction. So this would suggest that the Islamic State is ultimately going to be unable to destroy the Medes. They'd like to, they're trying to destroy the Kurds, but they're not going to be successful. And I saw a news report tonight that the Kurds have shored up their defenses and actually taken back some of the area that the Islamic State has claimed for them. Well, we can talk about that some more. We can talk about your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call here, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. And we've got a couple callers who've been patiently waiting. We have John online. And John, welcome to the program tonight.
Well, thank you. How are you tonight?
Good, good, good. Welcome.
Good. Is that super moon out there tonight, is that bigger than a pizza pie?
Well, if you're talking about East Coast Pizza's pizza pie, that's hard pressed. No. it's really interesting, and you bring that up. People wonder about this. When you see the moon first come up, it looks really huge. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
And then the full moon, and then when it's up in the sky, it looks so much smaller. It's an optical illusion. You can prove that if you hold your hand at arm's length and extend your thumb, put it next to the moon when it's by the horizon, compare it to the size of your thumbnail, and then do it when it's well up in the sky, and you'll find out it's the exact same size. It's just because it's way up in the sky, it's an optical illusion. You have nothing to compare the size with, like when it's low on the horizon. But
that was Perry Como's song. You're probably too young to
remember.
Oh,
when the moon hits the eye
Como.
Like a big pizza pie. Yeah,
yeah.
There we go. I've heard that, actually.
My question tonight was about Joshua 15:8.
All right, Joshua 15:8. And let me go ahead and turn over there. What's your question while I'm turning there?
I've been doing some research about Gehenna.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, I had a couple of questions about verse 8.
All right, let me get turned over there. I'm in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 8. Now here's Joshua chapter 15 and verse 8. "And the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom unto the south side of the Jebusite." And you're talking about the valley of Hinnom here, right?
Right.
Yeah, and that's a valley.
The whole verse.
As Jerusalem. That's Jebusite was what would be Jerusalem today. "And the border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the valley of Hinnom westward, which is at the end of the valley of the giants northward."
A couple of weeks ago, you were talking about the Nephilim.
Right.
And I was wondering where it speaks here that the valley of the son of Hinnom was at the end of the valley of the giants. Do you feel that the Nephilim lived in Gehenna?
Well, this is a valley here, and I'll back up here just a little bit. The Nephilim were prior to the flood. That was the giants in the land that were the result of the angels that left their first estate that Peter talks about. Yeah, I believe it's the same ones. And they either, depending on some people believe that they actually were able to have relations with human women and produce giants, hybrid humans of a sort. Or it could very well be that they possessed the certain men, human men, and they engaged in, essentially in a selective breeding program, just like we've bred, dogs, for instance, so that we have dogs that are little bitty dogs like a Chihuahua and great big dogs like a Great Dane. And we've done the same thing with horses, with goats, with rabbits, with all kinds of animals, where we have little bitty versions plus great big versions. And some people believe that perhaps that the angels actually were possessing men and engaging in it like a selective breeding program of human beings, trying to basically destroy the human race, trying to corrupt the seed so that the Savior could not be born. And we got a little distraction in the studio here. I got a speaker in the studio. It's getting me off track.
No.
I'm hearing myself in the speaker. I think it's gone now, but it got me a little off track there when I'm hearing myself in the headset and the speaker in the room here. But I get back on track here. So the Nephilim were destroyed during the flood, because all life, everything with life in it that breathed air, basically was destroyed at that time. But the term Nephilim would have been used for giants following the flood. There were giants that came about. Certainly Og, the king of Bashan, I think it was a very large man. And so giants did come about, and then that term Nephilim would have been used for them just because it might have been an old term.
Well, is it saying here in verse 8 that giants lived in Gehenna?
Well, Valley of the Giants, so there must have been some there in the area. We know that they lived over where Gaza is today, because Goliath was a giant, but he was a Philistine. Incidentally, the Philistines were the true Palestinians, and they're not related to the Arab people that use the name Palestinian today, by the way. They're totally different nationality, not even from the same ancestor. The Philistines are descended, I believe, from Ham, whereas the Arabs and the Jews are descended from Shem. But anyway, sort of getting off the subject there. But there were giants that lived in various places, and it must be that some of them lived in this area, because it was known, as it said right there, the end of the Valley of the Giants. So the Valley of Hinnom must have, went down into the area where what was known as the Valley of the Giants was. Of course, this area became what we're talking about, known as Gehenna.
Do you believe that Hinnom was one of the giants?
I don't see anything that would necessarily say that he was one of the giants.
Do you know who Hinnom was?
I would have to go look him. I don't know off the top of my head the origin of Hinnom. I can do a quick look and find out some information. Some of the other Bible verses on Hinnom, I'm sure, will give us the origin.
It's interesting that in Joshua it calls it the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, but in Second Kings it says it's the Valley of the Children of Hinnom.
Yeah, in Joshua 15:8 it says, "And the border went up by the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, unto the south side of the Jebusite, the same as Jerusalem, and the border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the Valley of Hinnom westward." So it says, and then it says, which is at the end of the Valley of Giants northward. So we have Son of Hinnom and also Valley of Hinnom there in the same verse there in Joshua 15:8. Joshua 18 and verse 16, it says, "And the border came down to the end of the mountain that lieth before the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is in the valley of the giants on the north, and descended to the valley of Hinnom, to the side of Jebusai on the south side, and descended to Enrogel." So we're seeing the term Valley of the Son of Hinnom and Valley of Hinnom being used almost interchangeably, it looks like.
Then you have, let's see, it's 2 Kings...
23:10, the Valley of the Children of Hinnom.
Yeah.
And then the next instance in 2 Chronicles 28:3, the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, and that seems to be a very common one. So I would say these are kind of interchangeable.
The fact that Gehenna is the place of destruction, do you feel that the name Hinnom could be synonymous with the devil?
No, I don't think that it is. I'm just trying to see if I can see something here on...
Because the people that were thrown into Gehenna were the ones that... isn't that kind of like representative of the lake of fire?
Well, yeah, Hinnom, the Valley of Hinnom became representative of that because by the time that, Jesus was here, Hinnom had become, the valley had become basically a garbage pit.
Right.
And I think we've got just a couple minutes left here, but it became a garbage pit and fires burned there all the time.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight. And we certainly welcome you to the program. Hope you'll give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Our phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, toll-free. And you can get on the program with us here tonight. Certainly brought to you by our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, but also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights here in Northeast Ohio. And that's the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights has calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And also, if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, whether you're in Ohio or Florida or somewhere in between, Gus at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights would love to help you out. You can call them 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus and how he can help you get started in your own pizza business. He'll help you get set up. He'll give you training. He'll help you find the equipment. He'll sell his sauce and his dough recipe to you, which is excellent, and he'll help you get in the business. You can discuss the options with him at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100, or just check them out for some of the best pizza you've ever had. Also, I want to mention tonight before I get back to our phone calls and I forget, I want to mention a special golf fundraising tournament that's going to be sponsored by Hametown Baptist Church here in Norton, Ohio, and it's called Play for Steve, F-O-R-E, for Steve. And the reason for this, the reason for the drive, is at 42 years of age, Steve Weiss, a follower of Jesus Christ, husband of 20 years to Chrissy, father of five young children, and a dear friend of many, was recently diagnosed with a very aggressive form of cancer. And Steve Weiss, a good friend of my son-in-law, and it was a part of their wedding here a couple of years ago, and he's been diagnosed recently with a very aggressive form of cancer. 100% of the net proceeds from this event is going to be used to help the family through this difficult time. Consider your personal your personal invitation to show your support, show your love for them, and play for Steve. This is Sunday, September 28th at the Lion's Den Golf Course, and you can find out more. I'll give you the website here. The website is playforsteve.com. Play for Steve. PlayForSteve.com, or you can call Stacy at 330-858-8739. That's 330-858-8739. You can get more information, and I'll have to get a link to this on our website for the program here, livewithpastoral.com. That's our new website address. We're going to get that updated on some of our things here in the future, but fundraiser to help this family out, good Christian man, and help out him and his family. And if you can't get to the fundraiser, if you can't participate, if you're out of state, or if you just don't play golf like myself, please pray for him. And if you have any questions at all, like I said, go to the website, Play for Steve, and that's PlayForSteve.com, or call Stacy at 330-858-8739. Or if nothing else, you can always go online and search for that information or find the Hametown Baptist Church in Norton, Ohio. I don't see their website here for the church, but they can give you information as well. And Christians ought to pray for one another and lift one another up in prayer and come to the aid of each other. So We'll mention that again, I believe, next week as well, if we'll get the opportunity. All right. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we were talking with John before the break. John, we're going to have to sum up your call here real quick because we're running out of time. We were talking about the Valley of Hinnom, and as far as I've been able to tell, Hinnom was somebody that he was in that area, and because Hinnom became essentially a garbage dump, and the fires were burning there all the time, it became used for that. And of course, there was a sacrifice, I think, of children to Moloch that were burned alive on the statue of Moloch there in that area as well. And so that name of the Valley of Hinnom or Gehenna has been used to allude to the lake of fire because it's eternal burning. I can remember working at a camp on Kelly's Island in Lake Erie one summer, and there was a dump on the camp. And I remember whenever you went there, it was always had fires burning in it. It was an open dump, and even if it was raining, there was fires burning. You could see the smoke coming up out from the trash, and you move some trash aside, and some flames would pop up. And so a lot of dumps have been like this in the past. But, John, I think you're still with us. So you got a quick in comment there, and I have to get on to some more callers.
I was just going to say the fact that 2 Kings calls it the children, the Valley of the Children of Hinnom. I was thinking when Manasseh offered the children sacrifices to Moloch. And if that was the case, then I would think when it says the Valley of the Children of Hinnom, it would be kind of like the Valley of the Children of the Devil.
Where the children were sacrificed, maybe.
To the devil.
Yeah, and that's what they were when they were sacrificed to Moloch. Yeah, you're right. They were sacrificed to the devil. So if you think about it, it really is a perfect metaphor for the lake of fire. Right. Hey, John, appreciate the call
tonight. Thank you.
And I got to get on to our next caller here. If you want to get in with us tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. And we have Ben's been patiently holding here tonight. Ben, welcome to the program.
Hi, Pastor Al. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I got a question. Psalm 83.
Right.
I've been reading it like a year ago. I was thinking about this. Psalm 83 happens before Ezekiel 38.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you.
Okay, because I was just reading that, and it came to my mind, and then I actually, on some kind of radio show, heard somebody, you know, talked about it and go more in depth. So would Psalm 83, that would happen before the rapture, you think?
Could be, or the rapture could happen during the events of that. I was actually challenged several years ago by a friend of mine. He said, do you think Psalm 83 is prophetic? And if so, what do you think about it? And so I really did some looking into it, and then that led to some other things. I had started in the last half of the program talking about the prophecy against the destruction of Babylon, which is separate, I believe, from the Ezekiel 38 invasion of Israel as well, and the judgment on the nations that invade Israel.
Yeah, because I see Psalm 83 almost happening soon.
And then
Israel, you know, takes care of their enemies, and if you look at Ezekiel 38:11, that war, the Gog and Magog, thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are arrest, that are dwelling safely or confidently, all of them dwelling without walls and having either bars or no gates. And I think Psalm 83 is the reason for Ezekiel 38:11.
Yeah, because in the Psalm 83 battle, you're looking mostly at the nations that today would be represented by Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, Iraq, and Syria. And if you look in the in the Ezekiel 38 battle, none of those nations are included in that. It includes Libya, and it includes Ethiopia. And, of course, those two would include all of the nations. Libya would be Libya plus the nations west of Egypt along the north coast of Africa. Ethiopia would be the nations, including present-day Ethiopia, that are south of Egypt along the Nile Valley there. And then, of course, it also mentions Persia, which would be Iran. And it mentions Sheba and Dedan, which actually I think would be some of the Gulf Coast states and United Arab Emirates, places like that, even much of Saudi Arabia and of course, Yemen. And then also it mentioned, and those are the ones, by the way, that do not participate in the battle, but they are mentioned there.
Yeah, I don't know if, you know, years ago I read, you know, the first Left Behind book, and the first couple, maybe first 30 pages, it said Israel burning fuel from
from the weapons of war.
And Tim LaHaye, his premise is that that would be 3.5 to 7 years before the rapture, because Israel will be kicked out 3.5 years into the tribulation, so they have to have 7 years to burn all that stuff.
Yeah, and we're really not sure, because some of it's speculation, because Israel could be burning some of that after the tribulation into the millennial kingdom even.
Well,
and, and I was going to say
that's his premise. So, as things move forward and, you know, time stuff becomes clearer, and I've seen Ezekiel 38:11, and that really kicked in Psalm 83.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
I was going to point something else out with Ezekiel 38. Israel's dwelling in peace and safety. That's not Israel today.
No, because that has to
change.
That has to change at some time before the Gog and Magog invasion.
Right.
So it's been getting pretty obvious. And like you mentioned, that the missile blew into the ocean or something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Psalm 83
verse 13 there says,
Oh God, make them like a wheel as a stubble before the wind. So pierce the cut them with your tempest and make them afraid with thy storm.
Yeah.
Tempest is wind.
Yeah,
so
we may see
I'll get
some
going because, you know, probably want to get another call, but it's really popped out to me lately. Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, appreciate the call, and I'll point out there, I guess I can call it a shameless plug. I put a booklet together a couple of years ago called The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War. If you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, you can find a link to that booklet, and I go into a lot of this with these nations and things there in that booklet, The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War.
Or it might just be conventional, because...
Yeah, well, I think there's going to be some nuclear war in there, because it talks about the fire, and Egypt is decimated so that the Egyptian population has to flee the land for 40 years. Damascus is destroyed in a night. Babylon, as I mentioned earlier, is destroyed at like Sodom and Gomorrah, which suggests fire, and it's such a way that no one will go there, which would imply that it's radioactive. So a lot of stuff like that, and maybe we can pick this up again next week, talk about it some more.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, well, thanks for the call, and I appreciate that. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Terry calling up next, and Terry, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, hi, how are you doing?
Good, welcome to the program.
I just had a quick question and maybe just one small sub-question. I was listening to a fellow on the radio, and if I could figure out where it was, I was half awake when I was listening to it. During the night, but he was making a reference, and I don't want to get into a dissertation about the post pre and tribulation all that. But he was kind of indicating that there was a scripture. I don't know if it was something the Lord was talking to the disciples about or something that, and he said that, you know, like the calling up of the Christians to meet the Lord in the air would kind of like one of the last things, indicators would be a total encompassing of Israel with nothing but enemies. And they said, well, that's right now. And I kind of thought that since Israel kind of came back into being a state, or kind of, you know, recognized country, in the 20th century, that, mm-hmm. that they'd always been surrounded by enemies.
Pretty much, but we do see that Israel's surrounded by people right now that are trying to destroy them. Obviously, that has been happening, but we've got Hamas raining missiles down on them. And Hezbollah, of course, active in Lebanon, has been shooting missiles from time to time. Iran would like to destroy Israel. They've said as much. Certainly the Islamic State that is forming before our eyes, they have said that one of their goals is to destroy Israel. And it's just like our previous caller, when we were talking about Psalm 83. In Psalm 83, verse 4, it says, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, referring to Israel, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they've consulted together with one consent, they are confederate against thee. And we see that happening. For instance, the Islamic State said that when they accomplished their goals in Iraq and Jordan, they want to topple the Jordanian government and bring it into their sway or under their sway. They've told Hamas that we will help you destroy Israel. And so we see things like that going on. These nations have been surrounding Israel, and they have attacked them in the past. God's delivered Israel, but it just seems like the level of the attacks grow, and the weapons they have at their disposal become more lethal every time.
Yeah, he was kind of indicating with like 100% concentration all the way around them of enemies right there. Just
yeah.
You know.
Well, right now Egypt. As a nation, the Egyptian government, the Egyptian military, is supportive of Israel,
yeah.
But the Muslim Brotherhood, which controls the Sinai Peninsula, which is on the border with Israel, they are cooperating with Hamas. They're helping supply Hamas, and
yeah.
They are certainly wanting the destruction of Israel. Jordan right now, the Jordanian government, is at least at peace with Israel right now. However, that's only one Arab Spring event away, and the toppling of the Jordanian government, like we saw the toppling of the government previously in Egypt, as well as in Libya and elsewhere. All it takes is something like that, an Arab Spring-like event, and Jordan will come under the control of some group like the Islamic State or another Muslim Brotherhood or Al-Qaeda-type group that wants to destroy Israel. And Lebanon right now basically is controlled by Hezbollah that wants to destroy Israel. Syria is in the throes of a revolution themselves, and both sides want to destroy Israel. And there are certainly people all around them right now that would like to, but the notable exceptions are Egypt and Jordan. And both of them are just one Arab Spring event away from being dedicated to the destruction of Israel.
And that would make it just about 100%.
Yeah, it sure would. Okay. With the exception of the Mediterranean Sea, it would be 100%.
Well, it seemed like an interesting thing the fellow was talking about, and that's why I don't know, I'll have to start looking through the concordances on to find, you know, where that was mentioned.
Oh, but, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll have to read that Psalm 83. I wasn't familiar with that.
Yeah, and start looking. You know, if you got a concordance, and you can start finding out what some of those nations represent that are in there, because Edom basically is mentioned in there. Edom and the Ishmaelites, that would encompass a lot of Jordan today. And then you've got Ammon and Amalek, I believe it is, and that's going to be around Jordan as well. Philistines, that would be Gaza Strip, Hamas, that area in there. Tyre,
I'll
that would
that
be
out.
Lebanon. I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
I said I'll check that out.
Yeah, it's very interesting when you look at this and you follow some of these nations and find out where they lived and who's there today. And it's really, really interesting, and it's informative. And
yeah, the previous caller was mentioning something about, and you kind of chimed in with that about a time of peace and everything for Israel, but that might be after the calling away of the saints in the air, where there will be this other time happening prior to the tribulation and everything. There was a program on right before yours that was talking about a missile that was fired in on Israel, and that it somehow got through their ironclad thing, and it was like 4 seconds.
Yeah, that was my mentioning that in the last half hour.
Oh, you mentioned about that wind coming through?
The east wind.
Oh, my goodness, that was
phenomenal. Yeah, blew it right into the sea.
That was phenomenal.
There's other miracles going. There was an infantry group, I believe it was, that was going in. They wanted to go in under the cover of darkness, and they got delayed, and they could not go in when they wanted to, and it was getting light. And this mysterious mist, this fog came up and covered him and his troops. Yeah. And they were able to go in advance on their enemy position without being detected because of this fog that covered them.
Yeah.
Just came out of nowhere.
They've had a TV program series on about some of the different miracles that's happened. I wanted to ask you another quick sub-question. Mm-hmm. I hope I have a moment. And I'm not. This has nothing to do with the Bible exactly, but it seems like from my memory about the Vietnam War, they used to go in to areas and spread, and it might have become illegal, this napalm.
Right.
Did that become illegal to use in time of war or any time?
You know, I'm not sure, but I'm just wondering if they've since ruled against it.
I tell you what, that's the situation going on in Iraq. It seems like that a weapon of that type, and I certainly don't. I think it would be horrible to be burned like that. But it's like it seems like some of these people, it's like they don't understand anything except out and out tyranny.
Yeah. Well, and when you look at what's going on in that part of the world, we know that Saddam Hussein, for instance, used weapons of mass destruction on the Kurds, which is one of the reasons the Kurds don't like the rest of the Iraqis very much, because he was trying to exterminate them. And so he used chemical weapons against them. I even had a Marine that he spoke in our church, and he was one of the first Marines that went in 2002, you know, and he actually spent the night in Baghdad, in the new city of Babylon, I should say, that Saddam had been rebuilding, and they had chemical weapons lobbed at them, but fortunately, because of other problems with the Iraqi army, they weren't fused properly, and they didn't go off. They just leaked a little bit, and they showed some signs of exposure to nerve agents, and they put their gear on real quick, and nobody was seriously affected by it. But, contrary to popular opinion, Saddam Hussein did use chemical weapons against our troops in that battle. But
I don't know about the napalm. I'll have to ask someone else.
But I don't know about that. Hey, I appreciate your call tonight. I got another call again. I want to get it to you yet, but call us back again.
Yeah, I just wanted to just say praise the Lord that this will pass.
Yes, and well, you know, you read the end of the book, you know how it turns out.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thank you for calling. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We got about a minute, just under a minute left. Jeremiah, you got a few seconds here. Sorry to keep you waiting, but welcome to the program.
Well, hopefully we'll be raptured tonight.
Now, that would be a good thing. It would be a good night. Any night would be a good night for a rapture. Any day would be a good day. We may be here for a little bit, or we may be here less time than we think. But whatever it is, we need to take use of the time and serve God and be a witness for Him.
Just keep on looking up.
Amen. That's right. And when these things draw nigh, Jesus said in Luke, we should know our redemption draweth nigh. I'm sorry. When we see these things happening, we should look up knowing our redemption draweth nigh. Hey, Jeremiah, thank you for that word of encouragement. And we're out of time tonight. Join us again next week for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Good night and God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenold.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenight.maplenold.us. That's latenight.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 6 p.m. Tune in every week to Late Night with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on WHKW-AM, 1220 The Word, and Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. Late Night Live is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.